Yo, you want to see what happened to my arm the other day? Check this shit out. I don't know if you can see it.
Little cat scratch. Yeah, I see that. Rotate.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is it
Damn,
clear?
bro.
Damn.
No foul.
Dude, I was like, there was this like older dude covering me. He's probably like five, like around Josh's height, but like an older guy. Clearly, he doesn't play basketball. He's just like there for a run. So I was like in the post. I'm obviously not going to do any damage in the post because I have like horrible footwork. And this dude just like kept doubling me every time every time the ball was entered to me. It's like, what the fuck is this? And then
But he
on like
wasn't the
the
one
last one,
guarding
he,
you.
huh?
He wasn't the one guarding you. He would just
No,
send a
like
double
another
towards
guy.
home.
Like it was like a weak side help. I was like, what the
Did you pull a
fuck
Devin Booker on him? You walk up to him and be like, yo, this is
Nah,
like a it's a
man.
scrimmage. Can't double
Nah,
team here.
man. But yo, he scratched me on an entry, like trying to intercept an entry feed. So like, what the fuck? Come
Yo,
on,
LeBron did
man.
that to me like 2 months ago. I had like the you can't really see it now. But I had like the biggest scratch right here. It's like this long.
Man.
I had a massive bruise on my leg too. Lamar's dirty, man.
Man. Feeling like Nikola Jokic out here with all these marks. What's going on, everybody? And welcome back to the Hoops Corner. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, back from soaking in the sun, the Iceman, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Feeling fine. As you can see, I have a nice tan, lost my voice, and I actually thought I saw Raj on my flight. It was sort of eerie, except the guy had blonde hair, but it looked like
Oh.
Raj. So I did a double
Wait.
take. I'm like, no, there's no. I know
Was
he
he
liked to go to
brown?
like nice places like Miami, so I figured it could have been him, but I didn't approach him, obviously. He gave me a look, though, and I was like, maybe.
That's what's hiding under the hat, eh, Raj? Just blonde hair?
Yeah, pick up your hat for a sec.
No. Like, let's just be real. There's no hair there, and it's definitely not blonde. So, Josh, I think you definitely misrepresented me with probably every typical brown guy that has a bit of a scruff and is probably 6 foot and something.
Every typical brown
Oh.
guy that has blonde hair, right?
Yeah.
I like it. The banger in the paint, a residential medical expert. Rajan Walia, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I wish I was on vacation like Josh was, but we can't all live the luxurious life.
Hey man, when you got the money, why not? But it's been a while since I've been on vacation. It was nice to go to Miami. I actually saw the Raptors game, which I'm sure we're going to talk about, that 30-point blowout. That's what this podcast is about,
Why?
obviously.
Who in God's name wants to talk about the Raptors in 2024? Just like at all.
Yeah, it was not fun to watch. Bruce Brown has some moments, but it's a tough watch for sure. Fun being there though.
I forgot Bruce Brown is even on the Raptors.
I did too. I was surprised you checked into the game in the last game of the regular season.
Right. Well, clearly we have better things to talk about. The play-in games have happened. Well, a set of them have happened. We had quite the upset. Everyone thought the Warriors would walk straight to the second game of the play-in, but nope, they're out. The Kings took care of business. Keon Ellis just absolutely destroyed this Warriors team, took their soul. Keegan Murray shot the lights out as soon as he stepped on the floor, and they get to match up against, I mean, it's kind of disappointing, but a Zion-less Pelicans team who also lost that in the first game of the play-in against the Lakers. And Zion came down with like I think it was 2 or 3 minutes left in the game, hit a layup, came down awkwardly, left hamstring injury, out for game for the play-in for sure. Like it's already been announced, Zion's out, so we have to deal with that. On the other hand, we have the Bulls at the Heat. Hooray, Jimmy Butler, we're not gonna see, sprained MCL, out for weeks. Alice Caruso, source of injury is Andre Drummond, so that's not great. Terry Rozier is already out. This East series just doesn't seem like a thing. But I mean, Raj, are we looking the Kings to go back to back here? Can they pull it off again without Herder and Monk?
Honestly, they could, especially with Zion not being there. This Pelicans team is not the same with him off the court. They do have some really nice weapons, but Zion is the player that makes them a bit more complete of a team. Honestly, the Kings are as good as Keegan Murray can shoot the ball because they need some like tertiary scoring. You know, you can probably get somewhere around 15 to 20 reliable points from Sabonis, and Fox is always going to give you at least 20. But you need another scorer on that team, and they're going to miss Monk and Herter, and I don't think Herter is coming back for the season, but Monk may if somehow they make a deep playoff run. But honestly, I don't even think the Kings are going to, if they do win this game, I don't think they're going to make any big splashes against OKC. And without Zion, I don't think the Pelicans will really match up that well against Shea and Jalen Williams and the rest of the OKC gang. So both of these play-ins for the 8 seed, it's kind of like we're just going through the motions.
Yeah, I don't think either game is going to be that competitive, to be honest. I mean, the Miami game might be a little bit competitive since Miami's still at home, but I think ultimately the Bulls are going to win. But in terms of the Pelicans-Kings game, I think the Pelicans are going to absolutely destroy the Kings like they have all season long. It's 5-0 Pelicans. Zion played in four of those games, mind you, but in the one game that he didn't play, the Pelicans went into Sacramento and won by 33 points. And De'Aaron Fox was 1 for 10 from the field. Keegan Murray was 2 for 9. Basically, nobody showed up to the game if they were wearing a Kings jersey. And the Pelicans just have their number, to be honest. And the one lineup that the Pelicans have that really works, the two-man lineup of both having Herb Jones and Trey Murphy III on the court together, those two together, when they're on the court, they wreak havoc on the defensive end. And offensively, the spacing just works. So although Brandon Ingram has struggled, obviously, since he came back from injury, it's only been two games, obviously, but it's a good matchup for him against the Kings. I think that they're going to win comfortably. And then against the Thunder, I think the Pelicans will put up more of a fight than Raj has talked about so far. I think that they will win at least a game, and I think they will pose some matchup issues for them. But ultimately, I think the Thunder are very happy with this result, not getting the Lakers.
Yeah, like if I'm going to bet the money, I'm going to bet on the Pelicans beating the Kings because, again, the Kings aren't at home. They just had an emotional win against the team that's had their number, and they just don't have enough scoring, consistent scoring. Like, yes, Keegan Murray shot the ball like a flamethrower yesterday, but I don't rely on him getting another 20 points, 25 points on that efficiency. And like Josh mentioned, like New Orleans has played without Brandon Ingram for a huge chunk of the season, and Zion's obviously been in and out of the lineup in the past couple of years, so they can probably survive. Again, I'm not as interested in that game, just because I do think OKC matches up well with both teams. And yeah, I think Miami's completely gone because Butler's out for weeks. They're not going to want to win that game and then have to go to Boston to get destroyed. Like, that for them will be just so demoralizing that I don't think anyone shows up for Miami.
Though it would be funny if, you know, Miami ended up winning and still gave Boston problems in the first round. I mean, Spoelstra is a genius, right? So maybe he pulls something out of his hat and Duncan Robinson averages like 25 points for the series. And I mean, Tyler Hero's finally going to play a playoff game for the first time in a long time. Hopefully, if he gets through the next game.
Yeah, we'll see about that part.
Yeah, I mean, the play-in has showed us that, you know, playing playoff basketball really takes a toll on the body, and we've already had three major injuries, obviously, with Caruso, Jimmy Butler, and Zion, right? So, knock on wood, nothing happens tomorrow.
Okay, timeout. Let's cut the crap. Okay, Jimmy Butler had a bit of a random injury where Kelly Oubre kind of fell onto his knee, so that's a contact injury. That could have happened in the regular season. Then we're talking about Alex Caruso, where Andre Drummond just completely, like, truck-stiffed him, like, in the middle of the court, like he was a linebacker.
Does Andre Drummond run back that hard in a regular season game? No.
But is Andre Drummond always clueless? Yes. Like, the dude blocked his teammate's alley-oop attempt. Like,
late season Shaqton MVP.
Exactly. And then let's talk about Zion. He has injury issues. This is not like a player that's an Iron Man and all of a sudden gets injuries. Like, Zion turns up, puts high maximum effort. Yeah, you can maybe say that's a bit of an overuse or a playoff type injury, But the guy's injury prone. Like, he probably plays another 3 or 4 games. He's probably going to pick up some type of injury.
Yeah, I mean, the guys with the additional weight, when they play excessive minutes at that type of pace and that type of physicality, it just adds up over time, you know? Like, he's probably never played that hard in his life for 36 or 38 minutes. And I had the sound off, so I had no idea what the hell was happening. I'm like, why is Zion not in the game right now? Is he just, like, gassed? And then with, like, a minute left, I turn the sound back on, and I'm like, oh, okay, I guess he got injured. I was so confused. I'm like, what is Willie Green doing? I understand benching CJ and Ingram because they were absolutely terrible, and the lineup they had on the court was actually rolling with Alvarado and Nance and Herb and, you know, Trey Murphy III. But, yeah, like, that would have been a decision to keep Zion out of the game, obviously. But, you know, finding out that he was injured was very disappointing. He was having the game of his life, and would have been nice to see him in the playoffs. But doesn't look like that's going to happen, unfortunately.
Are you one of those psychos who listens to, like, a podcast or something while watching a game?
No. I just had the... I think Reggie was on that game, right?
Yeah. So you had to be
I think there. That was the reason why I did it. I couldn't. Okay, I mean, okay. Reggie Let's is just have so a quick, awful. Oh my god!
I think Reggie is senile. Like, he was explaining at the end of that game that teams talk about this situation on the bus. Anthony Davis shooting a free throw with like 2.1 seconds left or 2.7 seconds left. Should he purposefully miss this free throw?
Yeah, I heard that.
So that the clock starts right away, but they're only up 3. Or should he make it? And then they're up 4, and New Orleans has no timeouts. What should he do?
Like, hold on.
Oh, my God.
In Reggie's defense, that is the exact same kind of comparison where people were like, oh, should the Lakers just tank this game and play for the 8th spot? Same kind of lunacy. I mean, we had that conversation, Raj, but the same kind of lunacy, you know? So am I saying we're better than Reggie Miller? No, we're not better than Reggie.
Yes, we
no,
are.
No, because the no, difference
yes,
is...
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
We are better than Reggie.
Yes, we are. Because what we're going to look at when they do play Denver is the Lakers probably would have had a better chance to have a longer playoff run if they played OKC. It's just the truth.
No. Because who knows if they even make it to OKC.
Yeah, but what are their chances of passing OKC? You have to look at the statistics. That's at least a discussion.
No, it's
this
not.
This missing a free throw is not a discussion.
No.
Why are we comparing
the
two? Reggie sucks, and that whole argument that was created out of nothing. Everyone's talking about it like somebody actually brought this up where it was a good point. And everyone's like, no, this is a terrible point. It's like, who even brought this up in the first place?
Stupid
people. It was Mike Greenberg or something on Get Up.
Who the hell is
ESPN?
That?
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Woo. All right, well, that'll be my segue into the Western Conference playoff pictures. I'm going to skip the one seed games or a series because, you know, we don't know who they're playing against and who really cares. So do you guys want to start in the East or the West, Josh?
The West is way more, you know, fun in general.
All right. Lakers at Nuggets. We have a rematch of last year's Western Conference Finals. As we all know, the Nuggets have destroyed the Lakers for the past 2 years. After, you know, defeating them in apparently the hardest sweep ever in playoff history. Surprisingly, or not maybe not surprisingly, but interestingly enough, the other day during that play-in game, did you notice that Anthony Davis looked a little, like, slow? Looked a little not there, like he had some lingering back pain happening? It's obviously going to be an issue whenever they meet off with the Nuggets here, but, I mean, Raj, this is just, like, teed up right for you. Is this going to be a Rui Hachimura series?
Hey, he's going to play well. Let's just say that in the last half of the season, since he's been playing in the starting lineup, that he's been definitely more of a contributing player on this team. And he'll have his moments, but, again, the Lakers do have some of the size that a lot of other teams in the West don't have. But ultimately, the Nuggets are a well-oiled machine. I think the real big concern for the Nuggets is if Jamal Murray just doesn't stay on the court, doesn't stay healthy, then the series becomes very interesting. But assuming he plays at least 30 minutes a game, right now the Nuggets have just a lot more chemistry. They have a good style of basketball. They probably have a bit more confidence than they even did last year, having made the finals. And overall, I could see them winning this series probably in five games. I think the Lakers end up taking one. I don't think LeBron wants to get swept in the first round ever. And I do expect them to probably take game three from the Nuggets, or game four maybe. But overall, the talent is just a lot better on the Nuggets. And Jokic is just that much more of an X factor.
I'm going to call a Nuggets sweep. I don't care how much LeBron doesn't want to get swept. He's going to get swept again. So the Nuggets are just better. Crunch time, they're one of the best teams ever. You know, when it comes down to it, because Jokic just controls the game. And as you mentioned, like, Anthony Davis sort of looks similar to what Joel Embiid looked like yesterday. He just couldn't move the same way, and he wasn't able to make the same type of spry moves. He wasn't really involved at all either. Like, Joel was sort of the same thing, but he was going against his own defense, which is a little bit different, obviously. But, you know, normally Anthony Davis just crushes the Pelicans. And just seeing him out there, you know, hobbled. And then LeBron looked like old and tired, like, especially later in the game. He was trying to ISO against, you know, Herb Jones, and it just was not going well. So I don't see.
Maybe because Herb Jones has like an 8-foot wingspan.
Yeah, but LeBron never does that, right? Like, LeBron just got tired and he didn't want to run the same type of offense like he was doing in the first half, running a lot of screening action. And he get the ball in the clock. He just held it for a while, trying to run out the clock, basically, because the Lakers were up a bunch of points, and that helped the Pelicans get back into things. So, you know, playing in, you know, Denver the first couple of games, it's going to tire them out. But luckily for them, like, the first round series has a lot of games in, or days in between. I think two of the games, assuming that they actually make it to game 5-6. But I think there's a couple of days in between 2 and 3, if I'm not mistaken, or 1 and 2. So at least he has a 2 days in between for one of the games to rest. But yeah, I think this is going 4, maybe 5, but I'm going to call a Nuggets sweep.
I got 5. Soft, everybody knows, dude. I love the Nuggets, so whatever. I don't need to explain this.
5?
Gentleman sweep.
Be a man.
You're such a gentleman.
It's going to be 5, man. They're going to blow a game. There's going to be one game where LeBron just like wills it through. It's probably going to be like game 4.
Exactly.
And like, you're going to have an inevitable Nuggets game where like 3 of their starters aren't shooting well, and then the Lakers will end up squeaking it out. And like, it'll happen to be the same game that D'Angelo Russell is shooting the lights out, who has actually been pretty good since like the trade deadline.
And he didn't have one good game against Denver in the postseason last year. And you probably said the exact same thing last year when we had a podcast in between the games. Oh yeah, you know, LeBron's gonna have this massive game, and Denver's gonna have a game where the shooters don't shoot.
Hey, it was the closest sweep ever.
Yeah,
I got a Nuggets hedge, man.
Sweep. Be a man.
I got a hedge. Always hedge.
Soft.
Let's move on. I don't know if this is the most interesting series, maybe the second most. You guys can debate that part, but the Suns and Timberwolves series has to be just like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's going to be interesting as hell to watch, because the Timberwolves, number one defense in the league this year, Rudy Gobert probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year again. And yet, their whole scheme revolves around letting their opponents take mid-range jumpers. Who likes to take mid-range jumpers? Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal, whenever Bradley Beal plays and is actually good. Who knows if that'll happen. But nonetheless, it's the Suns have exactly what the Timberwolves give up. You know what I mean? And then on the other hand, whenever Anthony Edwards has the ball, the Suns just send doubles, triple teams at him no matter what. Get the ball out of his hands, make McDaniels or make Nikhil Alexander Walker beat them, make Naz Reid beat them, make anyone else beat them. And on top of all of this, Cat gets blown by Grayson Allen constantly in any switches, which is just hilarious because he's Grayson Allen. He's not like someone that you would envision to be such a fast, explosive player. But if he's not raining threes on him, he's just going to go straight by him, which is what happened to Rudy Gobert against Terrence Mann all those years ago, and we constantly blew up Rudy for it. So, I mean, I guess this one's for Josh, since you're a big Cat guy. Are we going to see less Cat minutes this series and more like Nikhil Alexander-Walker or Naz Reid minutes?
I think this might be the most interesting series of the first round, honestly. And as you mentioned, like, I think Cat is going to be a big part of that. I think they might have to make a decision to not play the double big lineup very much throughout the series, or else they might lose a series, right? I think the move might just be to play McDaniels at the four and then play Alexander Walker with Conley and Edwards. So I think that's their best matchup against the Suns specifically. Against other teams, I think the big lineup is totally fine. But in this particular matchup, like, where do you actually put Cat in the starting lineup, right? Like, do you put him on Grayson Allen where he can just pick and pop, and then, or, if you do that, you might end up with Cat on one of the primary ball handlers in Booker and KD. Or you play him in drop, and like you said, they're just going to rain fire from the mid-range. So quickly, one stat I wanted to bring up. KD and Booker have 435 mid-range buckets this season. Can you guess how many mid-range buckets the Wolves have as a team?
130.
320.
The Wolves have 264 mid-range buckets this year, and KD and Booker have 435. It's a
My
pretty incredible
God.
stat.
Wild. Who's taking mid-range jumpers
Well,
for the Wolves other than Anthony Edwards?
pretty much Ant.
That's it, eh?
Yeah. Cat sometimes, but that's pretty
Yeah.
much it.
So, like, overall, this series is really going to come down to A, how well does Cat play? Because just like Brandon Ingram, he's coming into really kind of a brand new season. He missed a whole bunch of time. He has to reintegrate with this Wolves team. They've obviously played with him earlier on in the year, but this Wolves team did take a step forward at the end of the year. They were playing just better basketball, but offensively, they're just a bit of an eyesore to watch. It's a lot of like ISO, not much ball movement. They don't integrate Rudy well. No one really has, even the Jazz. And this really just reminds me a lot of a series or a team that the Jazz had when they had Donovan Mitchell and Gobert. Like, they're good on paper. They have some really good skill, but they don't really play good on offense. And I think that's going to be probably a bigger issue for them. Not that Phoenix is such a good defensive team, but just to keep up with the scoring that Phoenix puts up, that I don't think the Wolves are consistently at that level. And especially with Cat coming in later into the season, I don't expect him to be playing 30 minutes a game. And again, like Josh mentioned, the matchup's going to be an issue. Phoenix can really play small and aggressive. And overall, I think they can almost run Rudy off the court as well. Like, they can put Rudy in pick and rolls, and Rudy's going to either drop, which they're just going to take open looks, or they're going to be able to get to the rim.
And the other big subplot of the series is Anthony Edwards and how he plays against the Suns. So just going through the three games that the Wolves lost to the Suns this year, Suns were 3-0 against them. Anthony Edwards' first game, he had 13, 4, and 4 on 4 of 16 shooting. Second game, 17 and 8 on 6 of 19 shooting. And the last game, he took 7 shots and he had 13 points. So the Suns are blitzing him, they're double teaming him, and this is where he's going to have to grow up and make the right play and, find the playmaking chops that a lot of these superstar players eventually found in the playoffs themselves. Like, Kawhi became a better passer as time went on. I'm not sure Edwards is actually ready for that yet.
Yeah, time out. Let's just say who he's passing out to. Like, he's passing to Gobert, who can't make a post move to save his life. Cat, who's just going to camp in the corner because Gobert is dominating the paint. Again, Naz Reid's played really well when in place of Cat, but how much minutes is he really going to play? And Mike Conley, veteran presence, no hate for him. He's just lost a step. He's not really quite the same player. And Nickeil Alexander-Walker,
Oh, come on,
like,
man.
I'm not
The
blaming.
Wolves could have been the one seed. Come on.
Yeah, and they were one game away from being that. And unfortunately, they're just playing a good, or not a good, but a bad matchup in the Suns. And the Suns
Yeah,
are
but why are you
probably going to beat
downplaying their
them.
talent, though?
Who? The
Yeah, the
Wolves?
Wolves have a good team.
They suck on offense.
You do realize the Suns are like the worst fourth quarter team in the NBA on offense, right? Despite having Booker and KD.
Yeah, but do you know that they probably will be playing with the lead in the fourth quarter? And that Minnesota really can't, like, they can't generate easy looks for their players.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you know, downplay the Wolves' talent around Edwards. He has a good supporting cast around him. He's got a very good
not offensively.
Cat's
a good offensive player. Cat's a good offensive player.
He's a great offensive player.
But he's coming off of injury.
No, I agree with that. You're making it seem like Edwards is passing to the Detroit Pistons or something.
I'm just saying that he's passing to players that individually are not known as big scorers. Like if they even had a KCP on their team, I'd be like, okay, a player who has consistently shot the ball well for several seasons.
That's Mike Conley.
Yeah, and that's why I said Mike Conley is one good option. I didn't hate on him, but I think overall there's just not enough other players that when if Ant is getting doubled and he throws the ball to Gobert and Nurkic is on Gobert, I'm not trusting Gobert to take advantage of that matchup. I wouldn't even trust Gobert to take up at it a matchup over if there was KD in the post or someone else. Like, he's not going to take advantage of anything.
We finally got to the root cause of your argument. You just hate Rudy Gobert because...
Offensively.
In general, you just hate French people. Just don't lie, okay?
No, j'aime beaucoup les Français.
No, but if you look at the Wolves supporting cast, like, they have some of the best two-way talent around their star in the NBA, right?
And yeah, two-way, but not offensively.
Yeah, but, you know... Defense wins in the playoffs, right? Should win in the playoffs. If you have a guy like Edwards,
you still got
to
score.
Supposedly a superstar player and the best defense in the NBA, you should not lose to this Phoenix Suns team who has very, very limited talent beyond their top four, maybe five, if you want to count Nurkic or
Gordon.
Yeah,
but this is the playoffs. This is the playoffs. There's only going to be six or seven players that play, and the seventh guy is going to play 10 to 15 or 15 minutes. The sixth man is going to play 25 minutes.
Yeah, but you can find a huge advantage in the minutes where KD and Booker don't play. And then if you force them to play 40 to 46 minutes a game, they're going to tire out like they did in the Denver series last year, right? So having Naz Reid and, you know, Nikhil off the bench, that's going to be big when they go up against, you know, Bol Bol and Drew Eubanks. So, Minnesota should not lose this series, but it is a matchup problem.
Are they going to lose this series?
You think they're going to lose the series?
Call
it.
I think they're going to lose this series.
So, Suns and
what? I
think
they lose this series, Suns and six.
Peter?
I think they split. Minnesota loses one at home. I think Phoenix takes a 3-1.
Wow.
Then Minnesota wins game five, and then Suns wrap it up at home on game six.
Wolves in seven. I think Phoenix tires out. And I don't know. I think I might believe in Edwards trusting his teammates or knowing how to trust his teammates.
I'm also going to... I might even go Suns in five.
Go for it, man.
I like
it. See you in game seven.
All right.
I've been wavering with this one, honestly. At first I was picking Suns in six, and I feel like the ownership angle is also going to come into play somehow.
There's no way. That's a, like, why would players care about that?
No, I just feel like it's going to be talked about if the Wolves end up losing, and then who knows what they do after that, right? They just blow everything up because Alex Rodriguez doesn't want to pay the tax and this whole sale doesn't go through. The Wolves have the best roster they're probably going to have with Anthony Edwards right now, because they're going to lose at least one key player in the offseason based on how much money they have to dole out. So this is the time where they have to make it to the finals, right? But again, they have a really bad matchup here, but I don't trust the Suns. So ultimately, I'm going to go Minnesota in 7-2.
Wow. All right.
Suns are going to blow it, man. Suns are going to blow it. They should win, but they're going to blow it.
We'll see.
I don't trust this team. Like, throughout the whole year, there has been nothing to lead me to believe that they will show up in the fourth quarter. Other than, a seven-game sample at the end of the year, I'm good.
I'm not saying that they're a powerhouse team. I just don't like the matchup. I don't like what the Wolves do on offense, and I do think Minnesota won't be able to keep up with the scoring. I feel like if the Suns can hit 110 points a game, Minnesota's in trouble.
That's fair. I do feel like the series' fourth quarters are going to be like the series with Minnesota and Memphis 2 years ago, where there are so many like comical errors in the last 5 minutes of the game. It's just funny to watch both teams just like stumble over themselves. And then you saw like Anthony Edwards try to go for that steal against Ja Morant with like 3 seconds left and Ja making that layup. Like stuff like that is just going to continue to happen in the series because both teams can't get their heads out of their asses, you know, when it matters.
All right, let's move on. Let's go to Mavs Clips. There's nothing interesting about this series, right? We only have Luka, who's destroyed the Clippers in the playoffs for what seems like forever. It's realistically like 2 or 3 years, but you know, it seems like forever. He's finally got a good running mate in Kyrie Irving that he can actually trust with the ball, unlike, you know, his relationship with Kristaps Porzingis was. The Mavs, as we know, have been just pummeling teams ever since they got PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford in the lineup as well. And the Clippers, kind of on the opposite trajectory, right? They've been going a bit downhill. That Russell Westbrook injury really slowed things down. But even before that, they just looked out of sorts. You know, the chemistry wasn't there. And on top of everything else, Kawhi Leonard is injured, is questionable for the first game with a, I think, a left knee injury. I mean, it's not looking great for the Clippers, right? So, I mean, the real question is, are they able to overcome a Luka and Kyrie combination, Raj? If these guys are, if we're not going to see Kawhi, if we have to rely on Paul George and James Harden in the playoffs?
I'm going to cop out here and say it always comes down to injuries. I think in the games that Kawhi plays, I actually like the Clippers. I don't think, I think this is probably the most even matchup. But without Kawhi, I think just the Clippers don't have the same explosiveness as the Mavs. Obviously, Kyrie's a bona fide scorer. Luka can create his own shot. He has better running mates. And so it comes down to Kawhi's knee and how much he plays. I wouldn't be surprised if they really do push it because this is their last year at Crypto.com Arena. They probably want to make a deep playoff run because they have obviously they have to figure out their extensions with Paul George, James Harden, Russ. And overall, there's enough talent on this Clippers team. It just comes down to, can they stay on the court? And that's just the biggest question mark. So if Kawhi plays 5 games, I think they can win the series. If he plays less than that, I don't think they win.
I think Kawhi has to play every game in this series for the Clippers to win, to be honest. Because this is not the same Mavericks team that they faced last time, where if you look at the rosters, they're completely different. Like the fact that they have Kyrie Irving on their team now is in itself, you know, huge gambit, obviously. And then, you know, having the talent around them, PJ Washington actually turning into a good player, which was very surprising to see. He's a very good defensive player, which he didn't show in Charlotte. Daniel Gafford being a perfect fit with Luka, and they should get Lively back for game one as well. So, you know, if Kawhi actually plays, I would probably take the Clippers. But if he doesn't play, then you're relying on a guy in James Harden who just never shows up in the playoffs and probably will not again. And then you're basically relying solely on Paul George and then Russell Westbrook off the bench to, you know, fill in with your offense. And Westbrook can do that in spurts like he showed last year in the playoffs. But ultimately, you can't rely on James Harden. So if Kawhi does not play, I got Mavericks in six.
Big shout out to Paul George, though. He's been sort of keeping this Clippers team alive almost single-handedly for like at least half the season. So good for PG.
And
Okay, so let's just, I know we're gonna get into the East, but Kawhi plays. So it's Harden, Kawhi, PG. You'll probably have Zubac starting at center. And who plays the four?
well, Kawhi plays the four. It'd be Terrence Mann starting as well.
Terrence Mann. Okay, so if that's the starting lineup, who matches up on who against the Mavs? Assuming Mavs stay healthy as well.
I think they're going to start with Terrence Mann on Luka, and they really don't like each other. Like in the games that I've watched, they're always jawing back and forth. They've been pushing each other. Luka talks a lot of shit to him. So I think that the Clippers are going to try to rile him up with starting Terrence Mann on him, try to, wear him down a little bit, full court press him when he brings the ball up the court. But I think, Luka's probably going to play Zubac off the court like he always does. And then they're probably going to play Russell Westbrook, ultimately as center, a lot of the series, I think.
Well, and then would you say that Kyrie would be Paul George on Kyrie?
Yeah, I mean, the key to the Clippers winning this series probably is taking Kyrie out of it. So maybe even think about putting Kawhi on him, especially in the fourth quarter, and then trying to shut him down that way.
But I think having a combination of Kawhi and PG would be the best, because PG obviously probably has a bit more of the legs under him than Kawhi. I don't think having Kawhi on him the full game, but it's just, I feel they have to hide Harden and also manage to avoid Harden getting put in pick and rolls with Luka or Kyrie.
Hiding Harden is easy though, because aside from Kyrie and Luka, who else is there that we'd have to worry about on the perimeter? Are you gonna worry about Tim Hardaway Jr.? No, I'm good.
He's not starting.
Yeah,
He'll close games out.
it's a matter of like how much Jason Kidd wants to hunt Harden versus hunting the matchup that they would normally go to in Zubac or whichever center the Clippers try to play. Because the Clippers really haven't played Westbrook that much at center, like they did last year, for example, because they have Tice, they have Zubac, who has played pretty well this season. And it'll be interesting to see if Lou goes to that early in the series, or if he waits until later on in the series if it's close, assuming that Kawhi plays, obviously, to see if that's going to be like a big, matchup change, especially in the second half of games, or if he just starts with it. Because a lot of time Lou just goes ahead with, whatever his intuition is, instead of waiting till the second half, like a lot of coaches do, which is why he's such a great coach, honestly. But the one under talked about thing that people haven't really been looking at is like the Mavericks have been a top 10 defense in the second half of the year. They've been the number one defense, I think, in the last 15 games, which ultimately don't mean that much because teams aren't playing the same players as they usually do, but they are trying a lot harder. You can see the difference in their effort in the second half of the season, especially since they made the trade. And the pieces look like they fit better, but ultimately, like, are the role players going to make shots in the series? Because Tyronn Lue is a genius when it comes to adjustments throughout the series, and I think that they're going to force the ball out of those two's hands, and guys like PJ Washington have to make shots.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the coaching advantage goes to the Clippers, and yeah, Harden's not a playoff performer to say the least, but it's gonna be close. I think it's gonna be a close series. I am going to say that the Clippers do win this. I think they win it in 7 games.
Yeah. I mean, I hope the series does go 7 games, so we do get 7 games of Luka against Kawhi, hopefully. But ultimately, I think, the injury reporting with Kawhi is a lot like it was after he had his injury in game three, I think it was, the first round series last year, where they're not really indicating what happened to his knee, if he got an injection. I mean, if he got an injection, you would think he's going to be out for at least like a week, right? Right, doctor?
Not necessarily,
No.
no.
Usually when I see that reported, it's usually like at least a week or two for the guy to sit out, but maybe playoffs are different too.
It depends on when he got the injection, what type of injection and whatnot, but again, that's details we'll just never
No,
know.
for sure. But the fact that he's not even practicing yet and there's hardly any information coming out. I mean, you think in today's day and age of betting and supposed to be, supposedly being transparent with your injury reporting, we know more about this, but the Clippers never released anything regarding Kawhi, so we really have no idea until game one, obviously. But I don't think he's healthy. I don't think he's going to be healthy, and I think the Mavericks are going to take this in six.
Agreed. Mavs in
All
six.
right, well, I'll take Mavs in six if Luka, if
No,
Kawhi
no,
plays less
no,
than 5 minutes.
no. None of
You're
that. You gotta make your
no Clippers in
choice. Make your
seven.
choice.
Fine. I'm gonna say that the Mavs win the series in six because because Kawhi doesn't play six games.
Soft ass. Let's move east. I mean, the 2-7 is just. Are we going back to like 90s, early 2000s ball with the 76ers at Knicks? My God, Joel Embiid comes back from what we thought would be like a season-long injury. Pretty much was. He had like 5 or 6 games to end the season. And then the Knicks, on the other hand, I mean, let's face it, Tom Thibodeau has been playing playoff lineups since about February. Dante DiVincenzo played 53 minutes in the last game of the season. So, I mean, who's healthier between these two is really what I'm getting at. Josh, I mean, are we just going to look at Embiid and hope that he can play? That he looks okay, even though he looked just like legitimately hobbled in that play-in game against Miami? Or are we just going to say, hey, the Knicks are like gritty Knicks. You know, Jalen Brunson will take them to the second round because he's a godsend for the Knicks and they love their point guards.
I think the series ultimately comes down to if OG can play. And, you know, the last couple of games he has played, they're 20-3 with him in the lineup. And the last game that these two teams play when they were healthy, or healthy-ish, the Knicks beat them by how many points here? A lot. 38 points, I believe it was.
When was this? When was this?
This was in January, I believe.
It's a long time ago.
The Knicks had their full lineup. They had Randall in the lineup, who, of course, went 1-for-11 from the field. But, you know, Jalen Brunson going against, you know, a drop coverage and, you know, a guy that can't really move right now in Embiid, and Embiid's playoff history, not only just his performance in general, but just him always being injured. I just can't see how the Sixers are going to win this series unless he, you know, somehow gets healthy in the next couple days. And the Knicks have a lot of different defenses they can throw at him. They have two centers they can throw at him as well. They're super physical. They're going to beat him up. And, you know, I can't see how the Sixers win this series. I think the Knicks are a better team overall. They have better depth. They have better role players. You know, Philly obviously has, like, their two best players are, you know, their top-end talent is better than the Knicks overall. But I think the Knicks are going to win the series probably in five games.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Knicks in six. For all the reasons Josh said, I think Embiid's just not going to be consistent enough. He may have one or two big games, and those are probably the games the Sixers take. But the Knicks just play a higher intensity of basketball, and the key thing is they've been doing it, like Peter, you mentioned, since February, since Randall was officially out for the year. They really stepped it up a notch. They've already been playing their playoff lineups. Players know their role, and it'll be interesting because you have two coaches that are going to play their top-end guys, top-end minutes, and I just don't think you can rely on Batum and Kelly Oubre and Buddy Hield and all these vets. Like, it's like you took someone from 2016 and you put a team together, and you chose these guys, then maybe it's a different story. But it's like a young team with a lot of energy and heart versus a team of vets who have more experience for sure. But I can't go against Tom Thibodeau in this situation. So I'll say Knicks and six.
I can't believe you don't believe in the Batum bonanza.
J'aime les Français.
Oh man, this might have been Nicholas Batum's best game since he was a Portland Trailblazer.
Yeah, he was incredible. Probably some of the shots off the catch too, like catching it high and keeping it there, like Klay Thompson.
Yeah,
and getting it off as quickly as he did, and then that block at the end of the game as well on Hero. Like, he was their best player. He was the MVP of that game.
Wow. Big praise for a guy on, like, a minimum contract.
I mean, the guy's a great role player, honestly. I mean, yep. The only way the Philadelphia 76ers can win this series is if Tyrese Maxey averages, like, 30 to 35 points a game. And their three-point shooting is just, you know, off the charts for
the entire realistically series. So you said Tyrese Maxey needs to average 30, 35, whatever. My questions are, how many charges does Kyle Lowry need to take per game? And how many points should Tobias Harris average in this series for them to win?
If Tobias averages 19 points a series, 19 points a series, they have a good chance of winning, and Kyle Lowry needs to get at least two charges.
I mean, Kyle Lowry's going to try to take more than that, but is he going to get them in the playoffs? Probably not. I mean, he flopped like two times in the last possession of the game just when they inbounded.
And those are hilarious, sort of, man.
It's funny, though, like when you watch a Sixers game at home, anytime Tobias Harris misses a shot, the crowd just jumps on him.
Yeah.
It's
No
brutal. I
mercy.
feel sorry for the guy at this point.
No mercy, man. Whatever, he's a fantasy champion for me this year, boys.
Just
That's
had
all
to
that
put that
matters.
in there, huh?
Fuck.
That's all that matters.
Okay, don't rub it in, Peter. Keep it moving.
All right.
Playoffs,
Sorry,
though. Who are you picking,
I didn't
Peter?
put it. I'll go Knicks in five. I don't remember what you guys said, but I got Knicks in five.
I got Knicks in five, too.
Yeah.
Knicks in six.
Yeah, I mean, that's not so hot as I thought it would be then. Pacers at Bucks. Giannis out again against the Bucks. The Bucks seem to think that for some reason they can beat the Indiana Pacers, but they have not all season. And as we remember during the in-season tournament, they were completely destroyed. Simply, will the Pacers in this 6-3-6 matchup, Raj, just crush the Bucks again and again and again and again and again and again?
Honestly, this is the worst matchup for Milwaukee. These teams hate each other. I think this is going to be a fun series, probably the funnest one in the East. I would take the Pacers. I do think the series will go six games. Giannis, hopefully he does come back just for NBA sake and also for the Pacers. You don't want to beat a team that's shorthanded like that, but they'll take it, I'm sure. And the matchup's just not great for the Bucks. They like to play big with Brook and Giannis and and the Pacers have some length inside as well, obviously with Miles Turner and Siakam in there. And Haliburton seems to have really just kind of unlocked the Bucks defense. So I'm gonna go with the hot hand. They also know that they can do it. So that's a big factor. It's not like they're going into the series saying, "Oh, like we're playing Milwaukee, we weren't able to beat them." Like you said, they've wiped the floor with them, and that counts for something in my books.
Does Giannis have the same injury as KD when in the finals when he's playing against Toronto? The same type of calf injury? Do we know?
That's again, I calf strain.
Yeah, they're calling it a calf strain, and he's out for sure for the two first games.
So it is somewhat similar in the sense that you have a higher chance of rupturing your Achilles. Yes.
I feel pretty good about this prediction. I think the Pacers are going to either sweep them or win in five games.
Yeah, I'll take Pacers in five.
I'm going to say sweep, because I don't think Giannis is coming back, especially after the first two games. I think after the first game, I think the Pacers are going to wipe the floor with them. I think ultimately, like we said in the last series, like Dame's going to have to average like 40 points a game in this series because the Bucks don't really have a lot on the bench, obviously. Portis is going to have a massive series, and I don't think it's the greatest matchup with him against Siakam. Miles Turner plays really well against the Bucks. And Brook Lopez, like the biggest thing that has been talked about is Brook Lopez hasn't looked like the same player in the second half of the season. And he's going to be relied upon big time come playoff time. And usually he's a very good playoff performer. He's a guy that they rely on to get points when Giannis is on the bench. Like he has averaged 15 to 20 points a game in a lot of the series in the last few years, but he just doesn't look right. So, I mean, if he's not playing well, and obviously you don't have Giannis and their bench is extremely thin. The Pacers play up and down. They have a lot of guys to throw at you off the bench. Like McConnell absolutely tears apart the Bucks. So I fully expect that to happen as well. The Bucks are missing, or sorry, the Pacers are missing Mathurin, which is a big loss because he also plays really well against the Bucks. But they still have a lot of depth behind the starters. And just the pace of how they play, like the only way I don't see the Pacers winning the series beyond Giannis playing is if Haliburton continues to play the way he has in the second half of the season, though he has looked better in the last few games. But I think this week off will be big for him. And I think he's going to come back rejuvenated. And he loves playing against the Bucks as well. He's there to prove a point against Dame. So let's go with Pacers sweep.
Wow.
I was going to really emphasize that Haliburton week off. This is going to be huge for him, man. Because he hasn't looked right ever since he came back from, what was it, a hamstring injury? It was a hamstring, though, right? Yeah. Not as explosive, a little bit slower, but, if your body needs rest, your body needs rest. How did I forget to mention also this whole, like, the thing with Giannis wanting the ball and then like the Pacers taking the ball from him. How did I forget to mention that?
That's why it's going to be a fun series. They hate each other.
These two teams, Malik Beasley saying that he wants to meet the Pacers in the playoffs after like getting swept in the season series. Like all of this, man. I love it. I can't wait to watch the series. Pacers in 5. No, 6. 6. Just so I cannot be the same as you guys. But actually, no, I like Bucks in 6. Give me the Brandon Jennings prediction.
Get out of here.
Give me the Brandon Jennings. Trash talk Malik Beasley at this point, too. Like, any of the Pacers players just have to walk up to him and be like, you lost your starting spot to Patrick Beverley. Come on, man. In the year 2024, the year of our Lord, you lost your starting spot to Patrick Beverley. Come on.
And let's just not forget the biggest probably factor is the Bucks have Doc Rivers, which is the biggest net negative.
Yeah. Who's he going to blame after they lose?
Exactly.
I'm going to blame Giannis's injury. But
Who is he going to blame? He's probably going to blame that's the obvious thing. He's probably going to blame like Chris Middleton.
The one guy we haven't actually talked about in this whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's funny. Speaking of the year of our Lord, 2024, the Cleveland Cavaliers guys are really messing with the basketball gods here, tanking the last game of the season against, what seemed to be the Charlotte Hornets G League team. It definitely wasn't their primary guys. It wasn't even their bench players. And they absolutely tanked the last game. At one point, I'm pretty sure they played Imani Bates with like 4 centers, which is just, what the hell is all I'm going to say. What the hell? Purposely to avoid Philadelphia or Indiana. So they get the Orlando Magic in the first round. This is going to be the NBA TV series that nobody watches except like hardcore basketball nerds. And on the other hand, the Magic, I'd say like had a pretty successful season so far. I don't think anyone predicted them to be in the 5th spot.
Pretty successful?
Pretty successful.
They're extremely successful.
Okay, sure. Sure, I'll give you extremely. But obviously, like any good team, they don't want to just stop in the first round, right? So Josh, my biggest question for this is, how the hell are the Orlando Magic going to score? Because it's been an issue all year, right? Like, they've just solely relied on Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner to create most of their offense, Josh. But they're kind of boned outside of those two.
I don't know. I sort of see this series as, like, Cavs-Knicks of last year. Because Orlando plays a similar type of style as the Knicks do. They crash the offensive boards, and that's what really killed the Cavs in the first-round series last year. And, they play a really hardcore, physical type of basketball. I think the unders in this series is the way to bet it if you're a better like us. I think there's going to be not very many points scored, which favors the Magic, honestly. Like, the Cavs want to get out, and they want to be able to score points. They want to be able to spread the floor when they actually play the right lineups, which I think is going to become a major issue in this series. Do they actually play the two bigs more than 20 minutes a game together? They might have to based on the way Orlando plays, because you need somebody to guard Banchero. And, I think the Magic have enough to actually win this series, to be honest, because the Cavs are they're a big rut. They're in a big rut right now. And the Magic, they're coming in. They have nothing to lose. They know their identity. They know who they are, and the Cavs don't. So, you told me to take them. I'm taking the Magic in 6.
Wow. Okay. This is the first series I think we clearly disagree on. I think I am going to take the Cavs. The main reason I'm taking the Cavs is they just have a bit more experience. I think the Magic, like you said, they're playing with house money, less pressure, but they also have less experience. I think this is going to be a good learning experience for both Franz and Paolo, but overall, they actually had a bit of a slower or worse last 15 games. And I don't think the Cavs even did that well, but they do have the experience. I also think the two big lineup with Jared Allen and Mobley will be able to exploit the Magic a bit as well. Like, yeah, the Magic have good offensive rebounding. They have probably really good wing players, and that can cause some problems with Donovan Mitchell. But I just think experience has to count for something. in the series, and I think the series will be close. I 100% agree with the unders, but overall, I think the Cavs just have a bit more scoring and consistency, and defensively, I'd say they're somewhat similar, so I'm going to give the Cavs the edge here. I think it will be a close series, though. I'll say Cavs in five.
I think it'll be a close series, Cavs in five, huh?
Like, close as in the box score okay. will be close. Like, the point differential will probably be, in those five games, be somewhere between 15 and 20 points total.
I think, ultimately, like, what might actually determine this series is how much Jonathan Isaac is able to play as well. Because, you know, the Magic actually started him the last couple of games of the regular season. And he played more than 30 minutes, which he's, like, hasn't done in the last 4 years. And the guy is, like, basically the best defensive player in the league when he does play. So, if he's actually able to play in every game this series, like, I would definitely pick the Magic. We knew that ahead of time. Like, I would definitely pick the Magic because he can guard anybody. You know, if he can shut down Donovan Mitchell, he can play against, you know, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. So if they actually start him at center, I do like the Magic to win the series if he's able to play 30 minutes a game.
He's not going to be a big factor. I feel like they just put him a lot of minutes to obviously get him some more touches on the ball. But ultimately, I think they're going to roll with the guys they relied on most of the year. And is Fultz playing? I don't even remember watching the Magic for the last like 10 games.
No, he doesn't really play anymore.
Yeah. And so I think the biggest issue is from the point guard position and from the guard position overall. Like, obviously Anthony's been good in spurts, but playoff basketball is a little different, and I don't know if you can just rely on him to give your backcourt production.
Until Evan Mobley can learn to shoot jumpers, I'm out on this Cavs team.
Oh yeah, I'm not taking them farther than one series, but
I mean, giving them one.
Let's just go with it for this.
Magic in five.
Wow.
Good.
Yeah, you don't mess with the basketball gods, man. That's all I'm saying. You don't mess with the basketball gods.
And, like, are they trying to win one series or are they trying to win multiple series? Don't you want to keep Donovan Mitchell?
That's what I'm saying.
I would rather be in the two seed and play against an injured Joel Embiid and have actually the chance of winning round two as well and getting to the conference finals and then losing to Boston, then playing Boston in round two. Like, what are they doing?
Loser's mentality, man. That's a losing mentality of an organization. Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland just have not had good chemistry all year. This whole thing with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley together on offense just doesn't work. And, like, at points of the year, Caris LeVert was their best offensive player. That's all I'm saying. I'm out. I'm out on this team.
And, yeah, the Cavs are coming in with some injury concerns, obviously. Donovan Mitchell's had a lot of injuries in the last couple weeks of the season. Garland sat out the last couple games of the regular season as well. Mobley's been injured, obviously. And I think Max Strus was out for a little while. He came back recently too, but there's just a lot of questions there. And I think bench-wise, it's pretty even. So I think ultimately it's going to come down to how tough the Cavs are and if they can keep Orlando off the boards. And I'm going to say they can't, and they're going to have to make a lot of changes.
Oh, also, my last point. Joe Ingles knows Donovan Mitchell's offensive game. What's up? Inside scouting.
That's some deep research.
Inside
there.
Scouting, man. That's all I'm saying. Jalen Suggs is like one of the best perimeter defenders in the league.
He's not bad.
Okay.
Well, no, for all those Raptors fans that were hating on him.
Whatever, man. Jalen Suggs is like probably the best perimeter defender in the league. Top
He's
three.
The new Marcus
outwards.
Smart.
Yeah, if Marcus Smart played basketball this year.
Good point.
Yeah. I'm putting money on it, Raj.
All right. Unload the Brinks truck.
I don't know about that part, but like, yeah. The pennies, that's all I got. All right, let's wrap it up here. I don't think we need to do Stats Corner. We've gone pretty long today, Josh. Think we can skip this week?
I mean, I gave you a Stats Corner already with the mid-range shots, so I think that's enough.
Exactly.
You got like your it. Taste.
I want to go sleep in peace.
All right, well, on that note, I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe and find us on iTunes, Spotify, all the major podcast platforms. Find us on all the socials at Hoops Corner Pod. I'm talking TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. And until next time, peace.